Questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn!
It certainly is, and this morning we've got PhD student Alex Bonham in the studio. Morena, Alex, how are you?
Morena, I'm really well, thank you. How are you?
Very well, thank you. I'm very excited to talk to you because not only are you a PhD candidate at the University of Auckland, you're also on the Waitemata local board as well, which sounds fascinating.
It's really, really interesting.
It's quite a good combo of things here. Let's start by talking about your PhD because that kind of grounds, I guess, what we're kind of discussing this morning. Could you explain a little bit about what it is you do? It's through the dance department, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. The dance department is really creative and open to different ways of finding things out and exploring knowledge. And so I'm working there with Mark Harvey and Alice Longley are my supervisors. And I am studying how playful practices may co-produce the playful city.
So what does that mean? Because that sounds fascinating.
So the playful city, I thought I was making it up at first, and then I discovered it actually is a thing.
The playful city.
And it's actually children-friendly cities are often called playful cities. Playful city movements is all about making places better for kids, which often means about removing traffic and having playgrounds just outside houses and more third spaces. And
so what's a third space? Is that like a park or something?
So a third space can be a park, and it generally means a neutral ground where anyone can be, and it's a public space that just allows sort of non-economic activities like hanging out, sunbathing, you could be playing chess in the park.
Would like a library count as a third space?
A library completely counts as a third space. The streets are a third space too.
That's interesting.
Being on the ferry would be a third space. So you engage with people slightly different in public spaces than you do in private ones, but it's also a place where, you know, just by the nature of it, so even sort of arguably a cafe and a pub bar, it's a place where you can have encounters.
Right. That's
so interesting.
Tentative
encounters at first, perhaps, and then, you know, where you might meet your friends too.
So how does the kind of idea of a playful city link in with that, and how does it link into dance, or your PhD, I guess, under dance?
Because there's quite a lot of writing on choreographies of space and who has the right to be in space and how people are allowed to move in space, this is very much in the dance territory of thinking. I am an enthusiastic but not professional dancer, so I haven't got in through that way. But because I was a theatre maker in the past, I also have thought about movement in space, particularly how a lot of theatre has come onto the streets.
Yes.
And not in theatre spaces, and that's partly because theatre spaces can be quite expensive, where you can just get out into the public and do work there. And when you start doing this work, you get really worried about whether you're allowed to do it. And the more you do it, the more you realise you can. I've sort of, that's why I'm in the dance department.
That's really fascinating. So when you're talking about the choreography of space, what does that mean in a real world sense?
So back in the 50s and 60s in Auckland, there used to be policemen that would tell you not to loiter.
Oh,
keep
dear.
Moving, please.
I'm
keep
sure that probably
along.
Still happens in some areas
and
as well.
It might still happen in some areas. But sort of since the 60s, there's been a real pushback to the idea of modernism that streets should be completely for flow and efficiency, and you shop in this area, and you work in this area, and you sleep in that area, because it turned cities into such sterile places and often lonely places as well. The new urbanists who sort of started in the 60s, but you know, Young Gill and Charles Montgomery's Happy City is sort of all about this, is that actually we do need to have bump spaces and third spaces and a mix-up of living and working in order to have the encounters and bring us together and build community and actually allow us to have happier lives.
And does things like access and accessibility needs, do they come into this conversation as well?
Yeah, so in my sort of idea of the playful city, it goes beyond just children to having a huge variety of things to do in a city that fits different play personalities. And also having easy access to get there. So I'm sort of drawing on Stuart Brown's 8 personalities.
Now, what's that?
Well, he reckons that there are artists, directors, competitors, kinesthetes, or people who like moving around, storytellers, jokers, collectors, and explorers.
So that's the kind of ways you can categorize how people play or how people move in spaces? Or?
Yeah, that's how you categorize how they play. But when you start thinking about that, you get a really good idea of how they would want to move in spaces. So if you have safe cycle lanes, the kinesthetes are happy.
Yep.
If you have really good fat pavements, that nice safe pavements, that means that everyone can keep walking around and kids can skip. Explorers, you want to have that textured fabric in the city and have finely grained laneways and surprises and little stairways that go to places.
Yeah.
And, you know, like Melbourne.
Yeah,
it's a really great explorer's city because every corner you go, oh my God, that's so beautiful. I'm going to go down there.
Yeah.
So you have that element of surprise and excitement. Directors. I mean, you've got people in the community who have got some really, really good ideas. Like some developers like Mark Ockham are really interesting the way they're thinking about building spaces, and they take this space and they lead it and they design it and they create something really amazing that makes things different. And so having a sort of a planning thing like the unitary plan that allows this diversity of housing allows people to bring their A game and actually contribute
totally
very directly.
So how does this, I guess, come into the work you do for the Waitemata local board? What is it, I guess, that you want to achieve in your time on the board?
So climate change is a really big issue for everyone, me included. And there's a lot of pushback back at the time of the unitary plan and Auckland plan and consultations about whether or not we wanted to have more density closer to the city centre.
Yeah.
And it was really contested. And actually, a lot of Auckland wanted to have a compact city that allowed all those sort of textures and walkableness and stuff. And then there was another sort of group of people who felt that, no, actually, we want to have affordable housing. And the only way to do that is to take away the city limits and just allow more sprawl outwards. I would like, being in Waitemata, to encourage developers and individuals to think, actually, how do I want to live?
Yeah.
I want to live closer to the centre. I want to be able to walk to places. I don't want to have a car, but I want to have, I want to maybe live in a small apartment in the city centre, and then I want to actually have a family in the city centre.
Yeah.
So I want to encourage sort of developers and people to think about how they could create their own housing closer to the city centre so that more people can live close. Mm-hmm. And that means we don't have to sprawl out, because you can't blame people on the edge, really, if they cannot afford to be any closer to the city centre.
Yeah, totally.
So
there's a whole sort of conversation there that we still need to keep having, I guess.
Yeah, and just go, yes, you can.
Yeah, totally.
There's an amazing cooperative house, well, not just one house, but cooperative development, co-housing development up in Greylen called Co-House. And it's been, I think some of the people involved in Co-House are actually professors and teachers at the Auckland University, which is sort of brilliant. And they are really keen to live closer together and have a shared garden and not have so many car parks. And it was a bit of a battle for them to get it through the consenting process, but they have. And now there are places like the Urban Advisory and Hobsonville Land Company who are actively trying to encourage people to go, look, you can, we can create the housing you need. You can lead this housing.
That's so interesting.
That you need. And I just want to say, yes, you can, you can.
Yeah.
So please do, because it's such a big thing, you know.
Totally.
You know, trying to make the city that we want, it has to be a shared endeavour.
It's got to be livable and it's got to be sustainable, because, as you were saying, climate change is the big topic of our age, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, it's been such a pleasure to chat to you this morning, Alex. Thank you so much for coming up and speaking to us. That was really fascinating. So thanks for that.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn, thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university.